The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Truma. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu li truma, me'eis kol ish asher yidvenu libay tikhu es trumasi. Speak to the sons of Israel and take for me truma offerings. Me'eis kol ish asher yidvenu libay tikhu es trumasi. From every person whose heart uplifts him to contribute, you shall take my truma. Now this is the first parsha where we start to learn about the building of the Mishkan, the sanctuary. And this took place, the commandments given to Moshe Rabbeinu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu took place during the 40 days that he was on Har Sinai after the giving of the Torah, 3 months after coming out of Eretz Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. But the actual instruction that Moshe gave was not until several months later, because when Moshe came down, then there was the episode of the golden calf, and he had to judge the people, and he broke the tablets, and he returned to the mountain twice, and so forth. So he did not come back again with the second luchos, with the second tablets, until Yom HaKippurim. And the Chazal tell us, as it's related later on in Parshas Vayakel, that immediately upon coming down from the mountain on Yom HaKippurim, the following day, he instructed the people in the building of the Mishkan. This was actually the first order of business, the first mitzvahs that he wanted the people to involve themselves in, the building of the Mishkan. And we'll perhaps see why a little later. Now here he told the people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, what will be needed for the Mishkan. V'zeis ha'truma asher tichu mi'itom, and this is the truma which you shall take from them. And Rashi tells us here, and in next week's Seder in Parshas Kisiso, or that's in 2 weeks from now, that truma, there were three trumas, actually three types of contributions. There was a machzis ha'shekel, everyone gave a half of a silver shekel, it was a certain weight of silver, and this was used for the adonim, for the silver base of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary. And then again, everyone gave a half of a silver shekel, and this was not only a contribution then, but this was a yearly contribution. And this was used for the purchases of the korbanei sibur, of the national sacrifices, in order that everyone should have a specific portion in it. And on these two contributions, this was a set amount. No one could add or take away from this. And then the third contribution was all of the other materials that were needed for the Mishkan, which the Torah relates to us here, and that was also silver and gold, and as we'll see. And this was in accordance to Asher Yidvenu Libay, accordance to the goodwill of every individual. And these materials were used for the rest of the Mishkan. V'zeis ha'truma, this is the truma Asher Tichu Me'itom, which you shall take from them, zov, gold, kesef, silver, nechoshes, copper. So in this Rashi tells us, Yud Gimel Dvorim, there are 13 different types of materials, ha'amurim b'inyon, kulam hutzrocho l'meleches ha'mishkon, ele bigde ha'kuhuna. All of these were necessary for the building of the sanctuary, or for the garments of the kohanim, of the high, of the priests. Gold, silver, copper. Scheles was a wool which was dyed blue. It was a bluish green color, and this dye was extracted from a certain creature which was known as the chalozen. And the chalozen either lived in the depths of the sea or in the depths of the mountains. It seems to be two opinions in this, in the Rishonim. And he was very hard, very difficult to find. The fact is, the sages tell us that he would be Ola, he would come up only once every 70 years. And they knew where to find him, and they would capture him. And then from his blood, they were able to dye the wools, into this bluish green. The argomon, argomon was a wool which was dyed purple. So last shoni, this was a wool which was dyed scarlet, and this scarlet was either taken, it was either a type of a worm or it was a seed. Sheish, this is a linen, with izim, goat's hair. Oros elim adomi, the skins of rams which were dyed red. The eris tachoshim, and the skins of the tachash. The tachash also was an interesting creature. Rashi tells us tachoshim min chayev elo ha'yisrael elishor. This was a type of creature that was only created for the purpose of the building of the Mishkan, and later it became extinct. V'harvei gavonim hoyu, it had a coat of many colors, very beautiful. L'kach metargim sasgavna, therefore Ungeles calls this sasgavna, which means shesos umispare b'gavonim shalei, that he was an animal that was very happy. He was very proud of his coat that was of so many colors. Atze shitim, this was a type of cedarwood. Shemen lama'or, this was an olive oil which was going to be used for the menorah, the candlesticks. V'somin l'shemen amishko, a scent, perfumes, spices that were used for the shemen hamishko, for the oil of anointment. All of these vessels and the parts of the sanctuary were to be anointed, and also the kahanim, the priests, uvlikteiris asamim, and also it was to be used for the incense which was burnt on the altar. Avnei shoham v'avnei meluim. Then there were various types of precious stones, la'efod v'lacheshen, which were to be used for the gown and the breastplate of the kohen, of the kohen godl. V'osu li migdosh v'shochanti b'seichon. Kodesh Baruch Hu here commands us that you shall make for me a migdish, a sanctuary, v'shochanti b'seichom, that I may dwell amongst you. Kechol asher ani mare eischei eistavnis hamishkon, all in accordance to what I will show you, various plans and structure of the mishkon, veistavnis kol kelov, and the plans and the structure of all of the vessels, v'chein tasu, and so shall you do. Now here you'll notice that the Mishkan was given two names. First is called V'osuli Migdosh, that you shall make for me a Migdosh. And then in the next Pasuk it says, Estavnis HaMishkan. It's referred to as a Mishkan. And this is the Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Ervin. Tells us that the Beis HaMigdosh, or the Mishkan, had two names. It was called a Migdosh, and it was called a Mishkan. The word Mishkan, that comes from the word shochein, to dwell. It was called Mishkan because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled through the Mishkan. He dwelled in the Mishkan and he dwelled in Klal Yisrael. Migdosh, the word Migdosh, means something which is Kodesh, something which is Mufrash, separated, because of its great sanctity. So it was separated from everyone. It was a place which was not to be considered part and parcel of the material mundane world, but because of its kedusha, it was sanctified, and therefore it was called Mikdosh. So it has these two names. Kechol asher ani mara eischei eistavnis hamishkan veistavnis kol kelov v'chein tasu. All that I show you, so shall you do. Now here the Gemara learns from here v'chein tasu the deiris. Rashi brings from two Gemaras, Masechta Sanhedrin and Tes Zayin and Shavuos and Av Yudalet, that there the Masechta Sanhedrin, the first Mishnah, tells us Vein Meisifin Ala Ir, that you're not allowed to add to the Beis HaMikdosh, to the sanctuary, not allowed to add in any way unless it was done with a full Sanhedrin, a Sanhedrin of 71 judges, the great Supreme Court, because the Torah tells us that all of these vessels and the structure of the Mishkan must remain the same. If there comes a time when they must be replaced, you can replace them, but they must remain the same. And just like all of this was done through Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe was considered the complete Sanhedrin, he was considered equal to the 71 judges. So therefore, if there ever came a time when there would have to be any additions to the Beis HaMikdash, or to the area, it must be done with a complete Sanhedrin. Because the Torah tells us, "V'chein tasu, so shall you do ledeiros, so shall you do for generations." This always should be kept this way. Then the Torah goes in this Sedra and in the next few Sedras in great detail to tell us the structure of the Mishkan and the structure of all of the vessels. Now, just to give a very short summary, an idea of what the sanctuary consisted of, there were seven basic vessels in the sanctuary. The first one was the Oren and the Kaporis. This is what the Torah teaches us immediately afterwards. The Oren was the, we could call an ark. It was made from gold on the inside, gold on the outside, and the middle lining was wood. And on top of it, it had a Kaporis, which was gold, pure gold, and in the shape of two kruvi, two images. And the images were that of a young lad, a young boy, and a young girl facing each other, and they had wings as of an angel. And the Oren was the most holiest of all of the vessels, and its purpose was to hold the Sefer Torah, which Moshe wrote when he came down from Har Sinai, and to hold the tablets and the broken tablets. Then there was the Shulchan. There was a table. The purpose of the table was the Lechem Aponim, that there was bread placed on that table. It was baked on Erev Shabbos, and it was placed there on Shabbos, and it stayed there the entire week. There was also incense, and then the following week the incense would be burnt on the altar and the bread would be taken off and given to the Kohanim. Then there was the menorah. There was a great golden candlestick which was lit in the Beis HaMikdosh every afternoon. Then there was the Mizbeach HaKtoris. There was the inner Mizbeach. This was an altar which was made of gold. It was called the Mizbeach HaZov. It was also called the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner altar, because there was also an outer altar. It was also referred to as the Mizbeach HaKtoris, the altar of incense, because only on this altar was the incense brought. Then there was the Mizbeach HaChitzena, otherwise known as the Mizbeach HaNechoshes or Mizbeach HaDoma. This was the outer altar, and this was made of copper and also of earth. There was the Kevis. The Kevis was the incline which went up to the outer altar because it was very high, and we were commanded recently that we were not allowed to build steps going up to the altar, so therefore there was an incline. And then there was the Kiyor V'Kanoi. The Kiyor V'Kanoi was a copper fountain with a copper base from which the Kohanim, the priests, before they would go to do the Avodah, the service, in the Beis HaMikdosh, they would perform the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. They would sanctify every morning from there their hands and their feet. These were the seven basic vessels that were found in the Mishkan. The Mishkan itself was basically two sections, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh. The inner, the most holy section, and the outer section. And there was a pareches, a curtain which separated between the two. This was of the Mishkan proper. As we'll see later, that the Mishkan eventually became the Beis HaMikdosh. And this was much expanded, and at times there was a wall instead of a pareches, instead of a curtain in the first Beis HaMikdosh. But in the Mishkan itself, there was a curtain separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh. And these two areas became the structure. The walls were made out of Atzei Shittim Emdim. This is cedar beams, beams of a cedar tree, which stood upright. This formed the walls. The dimensions were 30 amas long and 10 amas wide. An amma is just short of 2 feet, about a foot and 3/4. So this would be approximately 50 feet by, this would be approximately 50 feet by, let's say, 20 feet. And 1/3 was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and 2/3 was the Kodesh. And these cedar beams were covered with yerias. Yerias was a type of tapestry. It was a type of tent-like coverings. And these yerias went, formed the roof of the Mishkan, and also completely covered the walls. And they were made from the various materials which were mentioned here. They were woven from the linen, and from the blue wool, and the purple wool, and the scarlet wool, and embroidered onto these were kruvim, images of the various animals. For example, a lion, or an eagle, or a bull, of the various animals. And the Mishkan was full of color, and it was full of splendor, as we can see. Then around the Mishkan was built a chotzer, a courtyard. And this also, these were what formed the walls of the chotzer of the courtyard, was that they were beams, and then there was this a cloth-like material which formed walls, and this was made of sheish moshazor, of twined linen. And the beams were made of copper. And then there was a covering of this type of material which formed the door. And the dimension of the chotzer, of the courtyard, was 100 amish by 100 amis long by 50 amis wide. This that the Torah tells us, v'osu li migdosh, that you shall make for me a sanctuary, this is a mitzvah essay. It's a positive commandment. The Rambam brings in the Sefer Avodah Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Halacha Aleph, mitzvah essay la'aseis bayis la'Hashem. Positive commandment, one of the 613 commandments, to make a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What should be its purpose? Muchen liyais makrivim bei korbonais v'chegigin eilov shleish po'amim mashono. And there are two basic purposes. It should be a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside so one can bring sacrifices there. And also, that it will be a place where we can come 3 times every year on the Chag. As it states in the Torah, shleish po'amim mashono, Yeroya calls churchas penei Hashem elakecho. 3 times a year on Pesach and on Shavuos and on Sukkot, we were obligated to go up to Yerushalayim and to go to visit the Beis Hamikdash, because this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home, and we were obligated to go visit him. How do we know this is a positive commandment? That the Rambam brings our pasuk v'osu li mikdash, you shall make for me a mikdash. Then the Rambam writes that this that we were commanded here, this was only the temporary sanctuary. It was only Lefi Shor. Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, they were in the desert. And immediately after Yom Kippur, they started to build it. They finished actually in Kislev just a few months later. And Kodesh Baruch Hu told them, though, it should not be erected until the following Nisan. So on Reish Chodesh Nisan was the Hakomas HaMishkan, the erection of the Mishkan. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the Mishkan should be established in the month that Yitzchok was born, Yitzchok Avinu. And Yitzchok was born in Nisan. And then it went with Klal Yisrael on all of their travels throughout the desert for the 40 years. It was something that they were able to put up and then take down and then carry with them. How it was carried, this is discussed in later parshas. These were the particular tasks given to the Kahanim and the Levim. What happened to the Mishkan after Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, after they left the Midbar the 40 years? So the Rambam here goes into the short history of it. Kivan shenichnas la'aretz ha'midu ha'mishkan be'gilgul arba esrei shona shekivshu v'shecholku. When Yeshua brought the people into Eretz Yisrael, for 14 years they were involved in conquering the land and in dividing the land amongst the 12 14. During those 14 years, the Mishkan was in Gilgal. Mishkan ba'o l'shilo, l'bon Hashem ba'i shel avonim, l'porsu yiriyas ha'mishkan olav, v'lo ha'yisam shom tikra. From there they came to Shilo. And there they made from the Mishkan a greater edifice. But this was all done through Novi, through prophecy, and through proper authority, as we learned, because we're not allowed to add anything to the Mishkan or to the vessels without a Novi and a full Sanhedrin. There they made it into a binyan of avonim, of stones, and they used all the same yuriyas, the same tapestries. V'shin samach tesh shona oma mishkan shila. And there it stood for 369 years. And this was during the time of Eli and Shmuel. Ukishemes Eli. And when Eli died, Chorav u'bol enayv u'bon Hashem Mikdash. The Mishkan was destroyed, and from there they brought it to Nov. Ukishemes Shmuel, Chorav u'bol legivayn. And then when Shmuel died, it was destroyed, and it was brought to Gibayn. Ubonu Sham Migdash. Umigivain Bol the Beis Alomim. And from Givon they came to Yerushalayim. The Beis Alomim, the structure in Yerushalayim was known as the Beis Alomim because this was the place where it was to be forever. We may know the Givain Sheva Vachamishim Shona. It was 57 years in Nov and Givon. So that means that the Mishkan was for 40 years in the desert. Another 14 years in Gilgal, another 369 years in Shiloh, and then a total of 57 years in the other places. So we'll say that's approximately 500 years. And then it was brought to Yerushalayim. This was during the time of David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the one who found the proper site after great research and great wisdom and great discussion with the Sanhedrin and prophecy. He was able to find the exact site where HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded us to build it in Yerushalayim. And his son Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, built the Mikdash. Kivan shenivna HaMikdash b'Yerushalayim. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, Nesoru kol HaMakemes kulam. Then from that time on, we were forbidden ever to build the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash in any other place. Livnish behen bei bais la'Hashem la'hakri ben korban. And we were also forbidden ever to bring a sacrifice to Hashem any place other than that place. Before then we were allowed. But once the Mikdash was built there, we were never allowed to build another bais la'Hashem or to sacrifice in any other place. And that's why it's called Beis Elohim. And there's no other place now for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for his bayis, his home, except in Yerushalayim u'bahara Moriah, and in Mount Moriah. Shebo ne'amar v'yomer David zehu bay beis Hashem lekim ze mizbach le'elel Yisrael ve'em ezeis minuchosi adi ad. This is what David said, that this is the bayis to Hashem, this is the altar for his sacrifice. And this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Zeis Minuchosi, this is my resting place, Ad Ad, forever. Then the Rambam continues that Shlomo HaMelech built a great Beis HaMikdash. It's a great edifice, where he added with authority on the simple structure that Moshe had in the desert. It became a great and glorious structure. And this was all explicit in Malachim, in the Tanakh. And the second Beis HaMikdash was built by Ezra
and the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And this was similar, there were some changes. And the third Beis HaMikdash that we will build, B'mheira V'yameinu. So this is written in Kosov B'Yecheskel. It's not clarified completely, but the basic, many of the basic guidelines are in the Sefer Yecheskel. Now this Bayis, as mentioned, is supposed to be something of great glory and tiferes. For example, Kishabainin Ahechel Vahazora Bainin Bahavainim Gedalis, that when we build the Hechel and the Azora, that's the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash proper, we use great stones. It's also all kind of halochas, if we're allowed to break the stones, if we're allowed to cut the stones, and so forth. Shnemar avonim gedeles avonim yekores liyaseid habayis avnegosis. There should be great stones and precious stones. Meratzpin eskola azor ba'avonim yekores. The floor of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim was made of precious stones. U'mitzvah min amuvcha lechazek es abinyan u'lagbiya kifikeach hatzibur. And the mitzvah is to beautify the Beis HaMikdash and to establish and strengthen the Beis HaMikdash materially, physically, in accordance to the ability of the nation at that time. Because we want to exalt and uplift the house of our God. You beautify it and you exalt it in accordance to their ability. If we can cover the entire Beis HaMikdash with gold, then this is praiseworthy. In regards to the detail of the mitzvah, when it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash, we're not allowed to do it at night. This was a mitzvah only during the day. The building should take place from dawn until darkness. And everyone is obligated in this mitzvah. Everyone is obligated to build and to give from his physical resources, to give from his bodily resources, and to give from his monetary resources. Anoshim men v'noshim, women, this is a mitzvah on women also, like we find here in the desert. Because as we see that the women also had a great hand in it. But the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings, but you do not disrupt the learning of the children in order that they should go and fulfill the mitzvah. From here we see the greatness of the importance of the Hadorim, children learning Torah. But even though the mitzvah, the building of the Beis HaMikdash was so great, you must not disrupt them. Now there is a discussion, what does it mean that you should not disrupt them? They are not obligated, they're not bar mitzvah, they're not obligated. So it can mean even further that the teachers, those, the malamdim, those who are teaching the children, they are not allowed to leave them in order to go and build the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'ein binyan Beis HaMikdash deichi yom tev. And this mitzvah does not take precedence over Shabbos or over Yom Tov. So this was the mitzvah's essay that we are speaking of here. And it started in the desert. And it culminated in Yerushalayim. And it's still a mitzvah that is incumbent upon us. And the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch, brings that this is a mitzvah which is not on an individual, but it's a mitzvah on an entire tzibur, on the entire nation. And when the majority of the nation is in Eretz Yisrael, then this mitzvah takes effect. So then again we will be commanded to build the Beis HaMikdash and to beautify it and to fulfill all of the instruction and the mitzvahs which relate to it. Some of the greatest secrets of the Torah are involved with the Beis Hamikdash. Even though superficially, when one goes through the Sedras, you might not find too much meaning or understanding in these Sedras. But there is more written in the written law about the building of the Mishkan and the sacrificing and the other tasks that went on there than perhaps in any other section of the Sefer Torah. And there, the secrets and the deep meanings are endless. Even though it's something that we're very far removed from, because this is not something that we had the schus to see or to have part of, nevertheless, one should realize that everything that's written about the Beis Hamikdash, or about any part of it, or any part of anything that took place in, is built on tremendous chokhmah satera, tremendous and great wisdom of Torah. And we'll cite a few examples to give us a little more insight into this. First of all, the place of the Beis Hamikdash. The place of the Beis Hamikdash, the Rambam mentioned here, was in Har HaMoriah, in Yerushalayim. Now, it wasn't merely b'mikra, it wasn't merely that just through mere arbitration that this became the place. But this has a great history. This was the mountain where Avraham was commanded to bring his son Yitzchok to sacrifice. Har HaMoriah. When Yitzchok the first time met his wife Rivka, it states that Yitzchok went losuach basodeh. He went to be mispalel, he davened. And the Torah tells us that there he was introducing the tfilas mincha, the davening of mincha. The sages tell us that sodeh, that field, was the site of the Beis Hamikdash. When Yaakov Avinu went and he was fleeing from Esav, and then he went to study for 14 years, and then he continued on his way to Lavan, where he was to meet his wife Rachel. And it states that, Ayol and Shom, it states that he lodged in this place for the evening. This was Beis El. This was the site of the Beis Hamikdash. And he had a dream that Malochim were Olim v'Yodim. They were going up and coming down. And he said, Ein zu ela beis elokim v'zeh shar ha-shamayim. This is the house of God, and this is the gates of heaven. And the Chazal tell us, Rashi brings, what did he mean by that? This is the gates to heaven. Beis Hamikdash shel malo mechuvin keneged Beis Hamikdash shel mato. But the Beis Hamikdash in heaven hovers exactly over this place of the Beis Hamikdash here. And what he saw, the angels going up and down, he saw the point where the two Bote Mikdashis, the two temples, come together, and the point that brings the two worlds together. He saw a ladder. And the foot of the ladder was here, the Reisha Magia Shomayimo, and the head of the ladder was in the heavens. And this had brought the two, unified the two worlds. This was the place of the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara in Masechta Chulin tells us that we see that by Abraham, it was called a har. Har HaMoriah, it was called a mountain. By Yitzchok, it was called a sodeh. Rosuach basodeh, a field. By Yaakov, it was called a bayis. Zeh Beis Elokim, he said, this is the house of Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I will refer to it not as Avraham referred to it, and not as Yitzchok referred to it, but as Yaakov referred to it. Zeh Beisi, this is my house. And probably what is meant here is that it took generations of the greatness of the forefathers of Israel, to bring forth this place where it can become the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A mountain is something which is remote from people, very far from people. It's like it says that Abraham saw the mountain in the distance. A field is something which is much closer to people, but it still is not a dwelling place. Since the purpose of the Mishkan was v'shochanti v'seichom, so I may dwell with you, it was only after Abraham and after Yitzchak and through Yaakov that it became the dwelling place. And that's a home, a house. And this is why he referred to it as a house. To carry this example a little further, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Kelim which tells us that there are Asara Kedushas. There are 10 levels of Kedushas. The Rambam brings this in Perek Zayin. Kol Eretz Yisrael Mikedushas Mikudeshes Mikol Arotzes. Eretz Yisrael is more Kodesh than any other land. And then he goes into specific facts to show that it has a higher sanctity. In Eretz Yisrael, as a Kedusha, in Eretz Yisrael itself, there are 10 levels of Kedusha, of sanctity, zu lemala mizu, one higher than the other. This is what the Rambam is quoting, is a Mishnah in the first parak of Kelim, Mishnah Zayin. Hayoris amukafais chema mikudeshes mishara oretz. Walled cities, they were holier than the other cities. And so, for example, a leper was not allowed to enter into it. You were not allowed to bury there, and so forth. Another Kedusha, the next Kedusha was Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is more Kodesh, is more holier than any other city in Eretz Israel. For example, Kochim Kalim. Sacrifices could be eaten in Yerushalayim, but not taken out of Yerushalayim. Meiser, we learned Meiser Sheni, that the crops that were brought up could only be eaten in Yerushalayim and no other places. And therefore Yerushalayim has other halachos that other cities do not have. In Yerushalayim, then it was Har HaBayis. Har HaBayis is when you come near the mountain where the Beis HaMikdash is built on. That had a higher degree of Kedusha. Then there was the Chel. The Chel was an area going further in. Then there was Ezus Anoshim. Ezus Anoshim was a section of the courtyard which the women would come to. Then there was the next section known as Ezus Yisrael. That was a section of the courtyard that was more Kodesh. Now we're going from east to west. The Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan was always to be set up where the entry would be on the east side, and we would be going towards the west. And there's a reason for that also, because our Chazal tell us that the world itself, the front of the world, is the east, and that's why it's called Kedem, and the inner part of the world is west. So therefore the Beis HaMikdash was to be set up in this fashion. You would enter from the east and you would go towards the west. And whenever they set up the Mishkan in the desert, it also had to be set up in this fashion. And the more west you would go, the more Kodesh it would become. You would go into the Heichal, Kodesh, then into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then would be the Ezra's Kahanim, the section where only the Kahanim would go. Then there would be Beina Ulam Lemizbeach. That was the altar of Mizbeach was in the courtyard, and then you would come to a great entry chamber that the Mishkan didn't have, but later on when it was made into the permanent structure, there was. And that was a higher degree. Then you would come to the Heichal, that was the Kodosh. And Shein Nichnas L'Shom El Arochut Shadayim Raglayim. No one was allowed ever to go into the Kodosh unless he had first he had to be a Kohen, and he had to sanctify his hands and feet from the fountain. Then there was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was more Kodesh than any other place. And Shein Nichnas L'Shom Elokein Godel B'Yem HaKippurim Mishas Aveda. And the only one that was ever allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Kohen Godel, the high priest, and that was on Yom Kippur, and that was during the time when he had to fulfill the Avoda, the specific tests of the Yom HaKippurim. These were the 10 degrees of Kedusha that were in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael was more Kodesh than any other part of the world. So we see that the site of the Beis HaMikdash was not merely by arbitration. Another point in this vein. Evan in Perek Revi, Rambam brings Evan Hoyso Bekedish HaKadoshim B'Marove She'oleo Hoyo Oren Munach. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the innermost part of the Beis HaMikdash, this was the place where only the Oren HaKodesh was kept. This ark with its kruvim, with its images. This was placed on an Evan, on a stone. In Yerushalayim, in Har HaBayis, there was a stone. And the stone was known as the Evan Shesiyah. And this was the place where the Oren was always to be kept. And then, interestingly, the Rambam brings, in later on in the Sefer Torah, we were commanded that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mon to Klal Yisrael, so later on we were commanded to take a flask of the mon and to leave it in front of the Oren HaKadosh, that it should be a remembrance forever. And then also when there was the machlekes, the dispute between Korach and the rest of the congregation, and everyone was to plant his staff in the one that would blossom, he would be the Kohen. So this was the staff of Aaron. We were commanded also to place the staff of Aaron there. Now when Shlomo HaMelech, when King Solomon built the Beis HaMikdash, he knew that there would be a time when it would be destroyed. And he knew that it would be destroyed by Babel, by the Babylonians, and he didn't want them to take the Oren. So he built Mokum Lignes Beya Oren Lamata Bematmonius Amukes Valkalkules. He built subterranean tunnels that go deep below the place where the Oren was kept. Secret caverns. And it was during the time of Yishayahu HaMelech where he saw the danger come in. He commanded that Gonzu B'Mokum Shebonu Shleima. He commanded that they should conceal the Oren and the Bismon and the staff of Aaron. They should conceal in the subterranean caverns. V'nigna zimei mata Aaron v'tzanzenes v'shemen amishchol. Also the oil of anointment. V'chol elu lechozu b'bayis hasheni. When the second Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, this was not recovered, and this is still concealed. One final example of this. Incidentally, the Chazal tell us that Yerushalayim is the middle of the world. This means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he started with Yerushalayim. And there are implications further that he started with this stone, the Evan Shesiyah, where the Oren HaKodesh is placed. Now another example that Rambam brings in Perek Sheni. HaMizbeach Mekeimai Mechuvin B'Yeser. When we come to place the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, the altar, we must be very careful where we place it. Ve'en Meshani Neisei Mekeimai Leilom. We must never change the place of this altar. Shenema Zeh Mizbeach Leil Yisrael. Why? Why must we be so particular with the place of the altar? Because it was on this place where Abraham bound Yitzchok to sacrifice it. And Mesedes B'Yad HaKol, we have a tradition. Shehamokum Shebona Devru Shlema Mizbeach B'Geirem Areino Hu Hamokum Shebona Bei Avraham Mizbeach V'Okarav Yitzchok. That the place that David set aside and Shlomo set aside, this was the place where Abraham built his Mizbeach. to sacrifice Yitzchok. V'hu ha'mokum shebonim b'neach k'shiyotz bin ha'teva. And this is the same place that Noach built an altar to sacrifice to Hashem after the great flood. V'hu ha'mizbeach shehikriv olav kain v'hevel. And this is the place where Kain v'hevel, the two sons of Adam Arishon, brought sacrifices. Ubay hikriv Adam Arishon korban kishenivro. And when Adam Arishon, the first man, was created, he brought a sacrifice to Hashem. And this was the place where he brought his sacrifice from. And even further, umisham nivro. This is where man was created from. States in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took ofor min ha'adama. He took ground in order to mold the image of man. It was from this place that he took the ground. Omru chachomim odem mimokim kaparose nivro. The Chazal, the sages tell us that why was it chosen that the altar should be here? Because he should be created from the same place that can give him kapora, that can cleanse him, give him atonement. It was through the sacrifices that man was given atonement.
So is it general with many parts of the Beis HaMikdash. For example, the Medrash tells us in Parshas, in this Parsha, Parsha Med Gimel, Oz Dalet, Reberach Yeposach Lecho Hashem Hagdula V'Agvura Ki Kol Bashamayim V'Oretz. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greatness, strength, beauty, and so forth. Ki Kol Bashamayim V'Oretz, everything that he created in the heavens, he created on earth. Whatever he created up there, he created down here. Lamalan zvul va'arofel. He created a zvul. Zvul is a great palace. We find that he created here also a great palace. Ozama shlema. Bono bonisi beizvul lecho. I have built for you a palace. Lamalan srafim endi mimal. In the heavens he created angels of fire. Here also he created something which should serve that same purpose. This was Atzei Shitim Omdim. These were the cedar wood which created the structure of the Mishkan. Lamalan Kruvim. We find that there are images of angels, of images which serve him Lamala. We find Kruvim here also. By the Oren HaKodesh, there were the images. And so forth. The Medrash goes through point after point. There's another Medrash which states that he had created stars in the heavens. In the Mikdush also there were stars, because when the roof came together, it was joined together by certain clips, pins, that would look like stars against the rakia. The Medrash tells us that he built a rakia. He built, when Hashem created the world, he was mavdil. He built a separation between the sky above and the earth below. So do we find here. Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded us to build a curtain which would separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So here we have somewhat of an insight that the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash encompassed all of creation. It's interesting that we find that the Torah tells us that on Shabbos Leisasiko Malocha, you should not do any work. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu works for 6 days and on Shabbos he rested. So it seems that the type of work we're not allowed to do was some types of a work that had to do with the creation of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked and rested, therefore you also should not work. It's not explained explicitly what works we are not allowed to do on Shabbos. The Gemara learns this out from the Mishkan. All of the works that were done in the Mishkan, these are the types of works we are not allowed to do on Shabbos. Any type of work that was not done in the Mishkan, This we can do on Shabbos. But we were referring to the works that created the world. So here we have the same trend of thought. Because everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed into the world above, he placed into this world, in particular in the Mishkan. Then we find another thing in the Mishkan. We find that the Oren was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This was in the most holiest part. As you came into the first chamber, the Kodesh, you were coming from the east to the west. So you had in the north side, you had the shulchan, the table. And that would be on your right. And on the left side, you had the menorah. And that would be on the south side. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us, why was the table placed on the north side and the menorah on the south side? Because the table, shulchan, is represented material power and wealth. Table represents a person's sustenance. And the source of the brocha of material sustenance that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is in the north. Therefore it says that Haretzi Yasher Yatzpi, a person wants brocha, material brocha, he should pray towards the north. The menorah, which represented the or, the light, and this represents the wisdom of Torah, the source of wisdom in this world comes from the south. And therefore it was placed in the south. Haretzi Yachim, a person wants wisdom, Yadrim, he should pray towards the south. Then we find that three of these four basic vessels, in our parsha, the Torah tells us, you must place a zer zohov, a golden crown around them. On the Oren HaKodesh, a golden crown was placed, and on the Shulchan, a golden crown was placed, and on the inner altar, the Mizbeach, a golden crown was placed. And the Medrash tells us this is in Parshas Lamed Daled, Os Gimel. Amar Bishimin Yochoi, Gimel Ksorim Heim. Three crowns were given to Israel: Keser Malchus, Keser Kohuna, and Keser Torah. The crown of kingship, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of Torah. Keser Malchus Zehashulchan. Crown of kingship, we see that Klal Yisrael were blessed with great kings. This represented itself, this had its source in the shulchan and the table. Torah said, make a golden crown around it. Now from here we see a little further. Like the Chazal tell us that the source of brocha came from the Beis HaMikdash. There's a Gemara, Masech Tesukah. The Gemara says that if the Goyim knew what the Beis HaMikdash did for them, they would have never destroyed it. Because the source of all brocha in the world came out of the Beis HaMikdash. For example, the sages tell us that when King Solomon built the Beis HaMikdash, he built the windows where they were narrow on the inside and wide on the outside. And this is just opposite to what people usually did. They usually would build them wide on the inside, and that way more light would be brought in, and narrow on the outside. And this was for purposes of security. But Shlema HaMelech built the windows where they were narrow on the inside and wide on the outside. So when asked why, the reason is because the Beis HaMikdosh is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home. He doesn't need light from the outside. To the contrary, light to the world came from the Beis HaMikdosh. Therefore, the source of all bracha came from the Mishkan. If the Goyim knew what it did for them, they would have never destroyed it. The source that kings were brought into Israel, this was the physical strength, this came through the table and everything that it represented, and all of the avodas, all of the duties that were related to it. Keser Kohuna, the fact that Israel were blessed with priests, this was represented in the Mizbeach, in the altar, because the priests were the ones in charge of the sacrifice. Keser Torah, Israel was blessed with Torah, Zeho Oren. This is the Oren HaKodesh. The Oren had a crown. Loma Nichtovim Zer V'Nikroim Zor. Loma Nichtovim Zor V'Nikroim Zer. It's written without a Yud, which would mean strangers, but it's pronounced as Zer, which means a crown. If a person is zeicher to these brochas, they become his crown. If he's not zeicher to these brochas, he becomes a stranger to it. Why by each one does it say you shall make for it? When it comes to the Oren, it says you shall make on it. The crown of Torah is greater than all of them. If he's zeicher to Torah, he's zeicher to all of the brochas. And this is why we find that the Oren was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Most Holy Part. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us a reason why he wanted the Beis HaMikdosh. He said, "V'osu li mikdosh, you shall make a mikdosh for me, v'shochanti b'seichom, in order that I may dwell amongst you." So we see that the purpose of the Beis HaMikdosh was to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Klal Yisrael. Now here the Medrash brings this out. The Medrash tells us in Lamed Gimel Oz Dalet. Now, excuse me. In Lamed Gimel Oz Aleph. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yisrael, "Mochati lechem teirosi, kaviyochel nimkati imo." When I sold you my Torah, it's as if I sold you also myself. Moshel Melech Shohayisol Bas Yechido. Example of a king that had a beautiful daughter, an only daughter. Boechad min amalochim anatol. So one of the kings came, a prince came, and he took her as a wife. After all of the festivities, Bikesh Leilech Leila Artsoy Little Lishtoy. After all of the festivities, he wanted to go back to his land and take his wife with him. So the king said, "Bichi Shonasati Lacho Yechidoisi. This daughter that I have given to you, she's my only daughter. Lifresh Mimeno in Yochel. I can't let you take her from me. Leimalach al titla in Yochel if she ishtecho, but on the other hand, I can't keep her from you, she's your wife. Elazut heva asili. So do this for me. Shekol mokum shata heilech kitunechur asili she'edor etz lechem. Wherever you go with her, build for me a little house, so I may come and dwell with you also. She'en yochel laniach has biti, because I cannot leave my daughter. Kachomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Yisrael. Masati lechem es ha-teira. I have given to you my Torah. Lifrei shemeno. To separate myself from the Torah, any yochel, I cannot. Kuchibrichu v'raisachatu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah is inseparable. I have given you my Torah. I cannot separate myself from it. Leima lechem al titlua. To say that you're not allowed to take it, any yochel, I can, because I already gave it to you. So therefore, bekol mokum shatem hochim. So wherever you go, bayis echor asuli, make for me a house. She'edor b'seiche, that I may dwell with you. She'nemar ve'osuli migdosh, and that's why, right after the giving of the Torah, the first mitzvah, at the first opportunity, Moshe said, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. With Torah comes HaKodesh Baruch Hu, comes Shechina. We have to make a place for it. So therefore, he commanded in the building of the Mishkan. And this, the Medrash says, this is why Torah is called a Lekach Tov. It's a very good purchase. Because when you purchase something, you only get the article that you purchased. Here you get the article that you purchased, and Kavi Yochel, if we could say, also the seller comes with it. With the Torah came HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And there had to be a place. This was through the Mishkan. And one final Medrash, which also brings this out, this is in Parshas Lamed Daled. B'shoah shoma HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe aser li mishkon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, make for me a mishkon. Hischel matmiya. Moshe couldn't understand. K'feidi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu molei elyonim v'tachtonim. The glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills up the entire world. It's like a Chazal tell us that Hashem is referred to as Hamokot, the place. Why? She'ein olamai, she'ein ha'olam mekeimai, Elohu mekeimai shel ha'olam. Because the world is not his place, rather he is the place of the world. So Moshe said, Kodesh Baruch Hu encompasses all of creation. V'hu eimer aseh li mishkon. And you're telling me, Moshe said, to make for you a mishkon, a dwelling place for you. And then Moshe saw with prophecy that Shlema HaMelech would build a Beis HaMikdash which is far greater than the one Moshe would make. And Shlema HaMelech would say, Ki ha'umnam yeshev elokim al oretz. Is it possible for Hashem to dwell here in the land? Omar Moshe, so Moshe said, Ma Beis HaMikdash hu yeshev yeshev min ha'mikdash. Shlema HaMelech mishkan alachas kama v'kama. If the Beis HaMikdash, which is so much greater than the Mishkan that I made, and still Shleimut said this, so how much more so can I say this? L'kach Omar Moshe. So therefore Moshe said, Yeshiv B'Seiser Elyon. He who dwells, Yeshiv B'Seiser who Elyon al kol b'yosef. He who dwells in secret, he is greater than all of his creations. B'Tzel Shaddai Yisleinon. He shall dwell in the shadow of Shaddai. What does it mean, he shall dwell in the shadow of Shaddai? It says, he doesn't dwell, lo b'tzeil kel, le b'tzeil rachum, le b'tzeil chanun, ele b'tzeil sho'osa b'tzal salel. He shall dwell in the shadow that B'tzalel made for him. B'tzalel was the chief architect of the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, le k'shem sha'ato sovar kach ani sovar. Your thoughts are not the same as my thoughts. But 20 cedar beams to the north, 20 to the south, 8 to the west, that's sufficient for me. And not only that, but even one amma by one amma is sufficient for me. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that it's not like you think. I don't need the whole universe to dwell in. I need 20 cedar woods to the north, 20 to the south, and 8 to the west. And not only that, but one amma by one amma. What was the one amma by one amma? By the Oren HaKodesh, where the Torah was kept, and the Kruvim, the two images were there. And the Ramban writes that the two images represented the love, just like there's a small child, two children. One is a male, one is a female. This represented the love between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was through there that Moshe would hear the voice of Hashem. When Moshe wanted to receive instruction from Hashem, he would go into the Ohel Moed, to the Mishkan, and he would hear the voice of the Shem coming between the Kruvim from the Oren HaKodesh. That was one Amma by one Amma. This is where HaKodesh Baruch Hu would dwell. And it states, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed. I don't need the whole world to dwell in. I need only the Torah to dwell in. And I need only Klal Yisrael to dwell in. And the Chazal tell us, Mishachora Beis HaMikdash, what happened after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it says, Golu Yisrael, Golu Shechin Timayim. Yisrael went into Golus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went together with them in Golus. Where is his dwelling place? Mishachora Beis HaMikdash Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela B'dal Rama Shel Halacha Bilvad. In the four cubits of Torah, this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds his dwelling place. And then the Chazal tell us, Mishachanti Asu Li Mikdash Mishachanti B'Seichom Mishachanti B'Seichom Leinem Arev Ela Mishachanti B'Seichom. Make for me a Mikdash that I may dwell amongst you. Does not say that I may dwell there, but that I may dwell amongst you. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that I need a place in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael took the Torah, then I must also come along. And I need a place in Klal Yisrael. Through the building of the Beis HaMikdash, through all of its fulfillment, through the uplifting of Klal Yisrael to the level of the Beis HaMikdash, then I will have a dwelling place in them, wherever they go. And this is what Moshe couldn't understand, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered. And the sages tell us that every individual is a miniature Beis HaMikdash. Whatever was found in the Beis HaMikdash is found in the individual. And the bracha of Klal Yisrael, that where they were able to raise themselves to the level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could dwell amongst them. Because it's brought that the Mishkan was a physical edifice. And the Spirit of Hashem came into it. So is the human being. He's a physical body. He's made from the dust of the earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Spirit goes into him. These are a few insights. Firstly, we can see what we can understand. And secondly, which is just as important, we can see what there is yet what to understand when it comes to these parshas. Now we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We have various other mitzvahs that somewhat can take their place till we have the Beis HaMikdash. We have the Beis HaMedrash, we have the Beis HaKnesses, we have the Tfilah, and we have the Dalai Lama Shel Halacha. We hope that we'll be zeicher soon to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash itself.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.